Jesus Christ, you seek us. You wish to offer us your friendship and lead us to a life that is ever more complete.
Grant us the confidence to answer your call, so that we may be transformed and become witnesses of your tenderness for the world.
Holy Spirit, may we receive in our hearts the presence of Christ and cherish it as a secret of love.
Nourish our prayer, enlighten our reading of Scripture, act through us so that the fruits of your gifts can patiently grow in us.
God, our Father, you reveal to us your love through Christ and through our brothers and sisters.
Open our hearts so that we can welcome each other with our differences and live in forgiveness. Grant us to live united in one body so that the gift that is each person comes to light.
May all of us together be a reflection of the living Christ.
Thrice holy God, we thank you for having created and loved us. We thank you for your presence in us and in creation.
May we learn to look upon the world as you look upon it, with love.
In the hope of this vision, may we be able to work for a world where justice and peace flourish, for the glory of your name.
Amen.
Amen.
So good morning, everybody. The series I'm looking at is from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. We'll look at those verses. And let me read them to you before we start, and then I'll show you how I'm going to break it down. But it talks about a guy called Jabez, and it's in a hierarchy of names that you could easily miss and go to sleep through, name after name. And I love names. I love reading the meanings of names. But in the middle of all these names, it has these two verses. And there's about eight chapters of names. Let's not get it wrong. But it says, Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me, you would enlarge my territory, let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free of pain. And God granted his request. Now, if you pray that God will bless you, he'll bless you. Enlarge your territory. We're going to look at these things. And I believe for 2021, we need to be praying some of these things over our life and our church. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm that I'll be free from pain. And I was just reading and praying, and I missed the obvious. And because I love names so much, Jabez was more honourable than his brothers, and I gave birth to him in pain. Now, I'm going to speak about pain today. Now, I would love to sit here as your pastor and give you, because there's a lot of macho pastors with beards and tattoos out there and skinny jeans, and I kind of don't fit into that kind of category, as you probably guessed. I'm pretty unique in that way. And I'd love to say I'm brave and I'm impervious to pain, as my young boy would say, but I'm not. If truth be told, I am a bit of a Jesse. I'm frightened of needles as well as flying. I suppose I don't like pain because it hurts. Every pain I've had has hurt. And I think we could talk about it. It's funny, the biggest injuries I've had in my life haven't hurt that much, which is kind of weird. I hate needles and the pain that causes, and yet I snapped or strained four tendons in my leg playing football, and I carried on playing. Who knows? But what I want to link up, because these prayers are a blessing that we're going to go into and pray over our lives, and I pray and I believe for as church and individuals, 2021 can be different if we pray that way and pray over our circumstances in that way. And I'd encourage you as well, but I'd encourage you, this is what I get. It's a big, thick day a page diary. And what I do is I write down the things that are important to me. So I'm writing down my weight, my sugars, how much exercise and steps I do, because I've really got to get that change this year. Also what Bible verses I've read, what chapters rather, and what God's saying to me, what God's doing in my life. So it's acting as a journal, and I'd encourage you to do that, especially as we pray into these areas, and even in today, to write down in a diary or a journal or somewhere what God is saying to you, what you're believing for, what you're going to pray over. Because even though we've got this framework of prayer that we're looking at, this will be applicable differently to every one of us and what you pray and how you pray. So if you listen to this message or this series and think, oh, that's nice, that's good, I think we've missed the point, because we've really got to drill down some practicals and say, okay, that's brilliant, because that helps me to pray like this, to believe for that, to speak over my life in this way. So I'd encourage you to get some paper or a diary and a note down and jot down some of those things. Right. So we're looking at Jabez, and the foundation of it, I believe, is that he was birthed in pain. He's named after pain, after negativity. And sometimes, I'm going to divert on a tangent again, it's just that sort of day. Some of you may have been born and conceived in horrendous circumstances. And I'm not going to list all the horrendous circumstances I think of, but if you're in one of them, you know it. You know, the circumstances surrounding the conception, maybe a bit abusive, wrong, maybe casual. You know, my old pastor used to use the expression, the backseat of a Ford Zephyr. And for anybody under 50, you won't even know what a Ford Zephyr is. But again, that is not to define us. You know, how we were conceived, how we were born, all those circumstances. And even for Jabez, the turnaround between him being called a child of pain and him saying, oh, Lord, that you would bless me, is massive. And so please look at your lives and don't let what you were named, how you were conceived, define you. Even your circumstances now, and people may say things over your life, maybe they're doctors, teachers, all sorts of professionals, and say, oh, well, you're this. Oh, well, you're that. Do not let what their name and their box define you and what God can do in you. A little story, I was going to try and avoid stories. Some of you know we have quite a unique family and some of the conditions and the issues. And a lot of it springs from me. If you know my darling, beautiful wife, she's practically perfect in every way. She is Mary Poppins incarnate. A lot of the things that my children struggle with have come from me, make no doubt about that. So we're in one area once, and this woman said, well, of course, you know, with ADHD, da, 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 da. And I said, I'm sorry, what does ADHD mean? Well, it's an attention disorder. And I said, don't use that language in front of my kids. You know, they haven't got that. In fact, I have something similar, and you say it's a disorder, but actually the way my brain works has actually helped me make money. It's helped me in my jobs, my careers, especially in the church. It's been the biggest blessing to me. So it's not a disorder at all. It's actually an advantage. And the way we define it and the way we box it, I don't want my kids thinking they've got a disorder. They've got an advantage. And just because schools and professionals don't know how to handle how the brain's wired and the things that come with it, let's not label it a disadvantage. And to my surprise, it was an open group. All the other parents started clapping and applauding. And I think how we label and what we allow to be spoken over lives is important. So Jabez gave birth in pain. So that's for free. That's just an aside. That don't allow your name, your circumstances to define you and to put you in a box. But then as we move on, and the reason I think this is significant is because we're going to look and speak into our lives on the blessings that are in this verse. But we can't and we won't disguise the fact that as a nation, as a church and as individuals, we have pain at the moment. A year ago, we were talking about our vision. We prepared our vision offering, and you know, we went through January and February. And we'd heard about this little virus that had happened in China. And again, being honest, you know, we had SARS and we've had MERS and we've had a few others that looked serious but never amounted. They fizzled out. You know, five or six people got them. But this one came and suddenly there was a person infected. Then there was eight. Then there was 20. And it just rocketed. And we saw the deaths. And even now we're seeing some of the same figures we saw back in April, which is quite disturbing. And I don't think there's anyone in the fellowship who doesn't know somebody who's had the the virus. And, you know, sadly, we know people who've died. Thank God no one in our church has died. We pray that and you know, we look at that focus. And if that could be said over the whole country. But, you know, we think, especially at this time of year, of people that we've lost. You know, we've talked about a lady called Glad, who came to our church about 5 years ago, who's nursing on the front line. And she succumbed to COVID-19 this year. We think of her and her family in Nottinghamshire. Difficult times. And there's other people that we had texts over, even over Christmas, saying, you know, that they caught this virus and very quickly gone there. So we can't disguise that. And we're not going to do the Christian evangelistic thing that kind of covers it or tries to forget it. No, our country's in pain. Our church is in pain. Our families have been in pain. This year, this year has been a painful year. And some people have said, oh, you know, move 2021, forget 2020. But I think that's slightly error as well. Because I don't think the pain of 2020 can ever be forgotten or should ever be forgotten or should ever be confined to a history bin. Because some of what 2020 has done will define and give us strength. And a new normal is the expression for 2021. Unless we should ever forget 2020, that, you know, man with his plans can plan all these things. And yet this virus has completely changed the world. So with that pain in mind, that context of pain that we are in and that we are, I believe, moving out of and will move out with the vaccines. Even this morning, some have been delivered and they reckon they're going to do hundreds of thousands next week. Fantastic. But, and here's the point I want to make, and I've made a long-winded sort of route to get there, forgive me, but blessing comes from pain. It almost sounds faithless to accept pain and suffering, but if we read our Bibles properly, there's lots of blessing, but there's pain, there's suffering. And, you know, people say, well, you know, you only have suffering if you lack faith, if you lack vision. And it's all bunkum, that is. And I'll tell you why. Because our Lord Jesus Christ died in suffering and agony on a cross to forgive us from our sin. And no one's saying that he didn't have faith, you know. And so that one falls down. I believe God can help us with those things, and by his stripes we're healed. I believe all that. But I believe there's got to be a healthy balance, because, you know, we can't have life without pain. You know, pain surrounds us in so many different areas. First area of pain, and we've touched on it slightly with Jabez, is the pain that comes from childbirth. Way back from Genesis, where Adam and Eve and the fall, childbirth was associated with pain. Now, I've been there for the birth of three marvellous, wonderful kids. And each of the three was different, you know. Bethany, a bit of inconvenience when she was born. It was right in the middle of a snooker match I was watching. And you know what? I've got to say, and I don't say this in a critical way, my darling Jill, she's lying there about to give birth, and she wasn't really interested in the snooker match, and she still isn't. She wasn't at the time. She got other things on her mind. And I was trying to be, because I'm not good with blood either or anything like that. So I got to say, I was a big, brave man. And Jill did the lion's share, obviously. And we saw Bethany born, and it was brilliant. And I walked out, and I'd survived. I'd not fainted. I'd not collapsed. But I walked back in the room just as they were sorting some. I won't go into the gory details. But it wasn't pretty and it wasn't nice. And I walked back in, and that's when I nearly lost it. But I've got to say, I was so proud of Jill. But it was painful. It wasn't easy. We asked Jill through those experiences and the pain, you know, would she swap what she has with the boys and Bethany against the pain? She'd say, no, I'll go through that every time. Because, you know, to give birth to something that's worthwhile, it has a cost. And that's kind of what I wanted to go into today. When we want to give birth to something, if God wants to give birth to something in our lives and through, sometimes it comes from a background and perspective of pain. You know, and we've said this expression a lot, that our testimony comes from our test. Our message comes from our mess. Sometimes it's through the pain that actually we have the credibility to give birth to something. So there's so many organisations, I'll pick one out of the blue, Saying Goodbye, that we partner with to some degree. Zoe and Andy do a great job in the whole thing of loss and bereavement, especially with children. But that was birthed out of their pain. You know, we had them, we had an interview with them, and you can see that the pain they went through and some of the comments they said about, you know, there is no closure and end, because that grieving is part of our lives now to different degrees at different times. But we look at what God has given birth to through the pain, and she's consulting with loads of people, you know, with Authority Number 10 Downing Street and soap operas and all sorts of things. Something incredible was birthed through pain. Now, do we wish to go through the pain? Do we plan for the pain? No, we don't. But we've got to believe that something will be given birth to through the pain. And there's people on this call that have gone through and are still going through some pain. And I don't want to make light of that or wave an evangelistic wand and say it's all going to be all right. No, but one thing I will say to you is God can give birth to something significant through your pain. Your pain is not in vain. Your pain is not wasted. Your pain is not for nothing. Your pain is not going to be forgotten, because God can give birth to something through that pain. And again, we don't know how that works and how we go through that. But God, I believe, as a foundation for this series, talking about blessing and speaking blessing over our lives, that we've got to believe that the pain of 2020, the pain of our nation, the pain of our church, the pain of families that we know and love, can and will give birth to something powerful in our lives. And that is the context of this scripture, that blessing does come from pain. Another slightly different analogy is, some of you may or may not believe that I used to do some bodybuilding when I was younger. Used to train with the weights and stuff. Not so much recently. Maybe I need to get back to it. Now, I was no Rob Ronaldo, who some of you know from, a member of our church from years gone by, who was absolutely huge, mahoosive man. And but one thing I learned when I was training, when I went back training about, I'd say 10 years ago, it was a lot longer than that, went in the gym, and you work out and you do the weights, and you feel the burn, you feel pain. And the next day, oh my goodness, when you've not worked out for a while, the next day you feel like you've been hit by a train because everything's aching. The reason is because when you work out, you technically tear some of the muscles. And it's in those tears that your body heals itself stronger. And so your muscles get bigger, you get stronger, and you build up. So, and again, there's an expression in bodybuilding, you've probably all heard it, no pain, no gain. Because if you do bodybuilding and it doesn't hurt, your muscles aren't getting bigger. You're not actually doing anything, just toning more. and I believe that in the body of Christ, that we will experience growth through times of pain. We'll become bigger, stronger through times of pain. And we need to allow the body of Christ to do its job, to move through pain, to work out through pain, so that it can grow. And some of the most painful things that have happened in church have developed and made us stronger. And again, not that we wish the pain, not that we say, oh, you know, God's plan was to give us pain so we can grow. Now, I don't believe that, but I believe God uses the pain that we go through, and it's not wasted. And it says, in fact, let me just find that scripture. No, I might actually put it down. Oh, no, there it is. You know, it's from Psalms, actually. And I've not wrote it down in my notes, I thought I had. But it says about God keeping our tears in a bottle. And I believe that every painful experience God takes it and thinks, you know, I've kept the tears, I've heard the cry of the heart, and actually this can be turned around. What the enemy, the devil, planned for evil, God can turn around for good. And again, we look at this COVID stuff, and, you know, we can't just blasé-ly try to forget the pain, forget what has happened, but believe with all our hearts that God can turn that situation around. And in fact, as a church, we talked about that earlier, watching on replay about the 30-odd thousand near enough families that received help from our partnerships, from what we're doing. Again, that's incredible. But this time last year, without the pain that we've gone through, if I said in Vision once to our leaders and to our church, listen, we're going to bless 30,000 people with food and da da da, people would have looked at me and said, that's impossible. That's not going to, that's a big, hairy, audacious goal that we're never going to achieve. How on earth are we going to achieve that? And yet, how on earth indeed, how in heaven, connected, we managed it through God's grace, and there's more to come. So I believe that even in COVID, through some pain, some things are beginning to spring up, beginning to sprout, beginning to change. And as we contextualize this series of blessing we're going to look at, maybe that's the first thing to do in your diary, in your journal, on your paper, whatever, is to write the words, through my pain, I believe, and then write something. Through my pain. You know, and maybe you want to list your pain, because let's never forget our pain. Let's not live in our pain. Let's not build a tent or a temple and live in it. But let's not forget it either. Let's not pretend it didn't exist, because sometimes that pain is the fuel. Sometimes that pain is the motivation and the strength that we receive through the pain to take us to another level. So maybe it's worth reviewing your 2020. Renew it and saying, you know, where has the pain been? What has caused me pain? What's caused me anxiety? And remembering that, but then remembering through the pain that God has got something bigger, God has got something better for you. I'm just going to give you some scriptures about physical pain. Jeremiah 17:14 says, "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise." You know, there is healing in the pain of our lives. And I've told many stories about healing. The one that I remember most is a guy in my old church in Essex. And when he was a young man, he had a farming accident, and his dad was a man of faith. And they took him to the hospital and they said, "I'm sorry, sir, but your son is going to lose his leg and we're going to have to amputate." And he said, "That's not going to happen. We're going to pray." And so he called all the church and all these people to pray. And then he went back to see the doctor. The doctor said, "Well, amazingly, things have changed. And we don't think we're going to have to amputate anymore." Now, doctors don't say miracles, but... and so they didn't amputate. Now, I spoke to this man who'd had a leg injury. And he was in his 80s. And as he was getting older, things like arthritis and all these ailments had beset his body as he was getting older. And he said, he told me the story, he said with a smile on his face, he said, "The doctors examined my body and virtually every part of me have got arthritis in, except the leg that God healed 78 years before, is still stronger and better than the rest of my body put together. Because when God heals us, he heals us." And I've never forgotten that story, that every part of him was getting old, except the leg, the one that they said would have to be amputated. It's funny, it says that, "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed." Inferring that it's not just a one-off, it's a process as well. And I want to pray for anybody with pain from 2020 and from other things, that God will heal you of your pain. Heal you, Lord, that you will be healed. Save me, that I will be saved, because you are the one I praise. And it also, the inference is that through our pain, we can still praise him, which seems totally opposite to what our emotions would tell us. And yet sometimes through the biggest pain, the biggest relief is in worshiping God and praising him. And again, that's the difference between joy and happiness, that we're not happy through some of these things, but that depth of joy in God can still be within us, even though we might not openly express it at that time. So another area of pain, and again, we're going to look at this later in the year, something that I'm planning with some people, because part of our makeup as people is the mental and the emotional. And we often, as Christians, talk about the heart, which is good, and we talk about the body, which is good. But the mind, the mental, the emotional, we don't often focus on. So I want to mention it here. Psalm 34 verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit," which talks to me about emotional and mental well-being, among many other verses. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I think the worst thing, you know, we can have physical pain, we can go through things, but when something crushes our spirit, when something so affects us that we don't want to get up in the morning, that we cry, that our heart cries out because of that sense of loss within us, that sense of bereavement, not just for people, but circumstances, sometimes dreams, and it can crush our spirit. Again, I won't go into too much of it, but I know many families and even myself who've gone through experiences which crush our spirit, that break our hearts. You know, the thing is about being a heart, it's so sensitive, and you know, we think about our sweethearts, we think about our heart for this and our heart for that. But when we're brokenhearted, and I'm not just talking about when we're 14 and the girl we took to the dance has gone off with somebody else. Now I'm talking about when our heart is broken, when it feels like it can never be put back together again. When we walk into places and just break down and weep for what appears no good reason because we're brokenhearted. And again, I don't want to give you any pep verses, and I just want to read you what the Bible says. The Lord is near. The Lord is near to you. And the inference is that through times of crushed spirit or brokenheartedness, that God is closer than we think, that God is closer than normal. You know, we've all heard the footprints in the sand analogy, but I think it's true that the Lord is near the brokenhearted. And I want to say that in your pain, in your circumstance, if your spirit has been crushed or your heart has been broken, the promise of the word I can give to you today is the Lord is near. The Lord is close to you, probably closer than you can think or imagine. And his arms envelop you, wrap you, are close to you in ways that you probably might not understand until another season or another day. And I don't want to major on it. I don't want to milk it. But I do want it to be clear today that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. The Lord is close to you today. And the last point I want to make is spiritually, that pain helps us physically, and how we go through pain physically, mentally, emotionally, but also spiritually. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us." In other words, the best is still yet to come. Even if we've been through spiritual challenges and spiritual pain, as well as mental and emotional, as well as physical, that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to be revealed. There's something bigger and something better coming, you know. And when we go through pain, we don't see that side. We see the pain that's been caused. We see the past, but we don't see what is yet to be revealed, what God can still do despite the pain, through the pain, because of the pain. God has got so much more planned for us. And so my challenge, therefore, is that with the pain that we've experienced, there's a promise that God is going to reveal something. God is going to birth something. God is going to do something from that pain in our hearts and in our lives. I'm just going to read this scripture. It's a great scripture when we talk about pain. Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." And then the three game-changing words, "God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he'll also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." So God has got a plan going through that. But the pivotal point from the temptation and the pain to the ability and the provision is the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. But Pastor, I'm going through physical pain. God is faithful. Pastor, I'm going through mental and emotional problems because of these circumstances. God is still faithful. I've been through these things in church and in my relationship with God. God is still faithful. And if we have that pivotal point that of the faithfulness of God, he can take us from where we were to where we could be, that future glory being revealed in us. And so take heart and take courage. Those three words, God is faithful. And he will not be let you be tempted beyond your ability or provide you without a way of escape. Again, I've got lots of scriptures, but there's the scripture I was looking for earlier, Psalm 56, verse 8. You number my wanderings, Lord, and you put my tears into a bottle. He keeps record of our pain. Our pain's not wasted. The scripture I'm going to finish with is Revelation 21, verse 4. And it's a prophetic scripture of the future. It's a revelation scripture. And it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Now, that's a future verse, but it's the promise that even through the pain and some of the horrendous things that have happened in 2020, there is hope. There is something more coming. There's something better coming. I'll probably finish with a story. Some of you might have heard me tell it about an old lady who was dying, and her pastor came to see her and said, look, you know, are there any desires or wishes that you have? And she said to him, she was from an Afro-Caribbean background, and she said, I want to be buried, because their culture was open casket. I want to be buried with a fork in my hand, and my will and instructions will explain all that sort of thing. So, true to form, the lady passed away, and they put a fork in her hand, the undertakers that prepared her. And no one quite understood this when they paid tribute and they saw this fork in her hand. There were some questions. But she revealed it, and it kind of came out that she'd said, well, from the family I was brought up with, we used to eat our main meal. But my mum always used to prepare something really nice, whether it be apple pie or something quite beautiful. For after the meal. And the thing was, because we didn't have much cutlery, after you ate your main meal and they were clearing all the plates away, you always held on to your fork. And the reason was you knew something better was coming. And she said, as part of her contemplation of God, that she wanted to be buried with a fork in her hand because she knew she'd had her main course, but something better was coming. And, you know, as Christians, we believe that even with pain and with some of the things, that something better is coming, whether it's on this earth in the physical or whether it's spiritually as we move into heaven and eternity, that something better is going to come. Something better is in store for us. And really, as I conclude, I want you to know that we're not going to discount your pain, but we know something better is coming. That we're going to live 2021 with a fork in our hands because something better is coming. I'm not just saying that because it's a new year. I'm not just saying that because 2020 was so bad, but I believe with my heart that the pain that we've gone through will birth something significant in our lives, in our church, and even in our nation, that people will turn around and say, you know, this new normal is not going to be a negative thing, but it's going to be really positive. And people are going to discover their faith, they're going to discover their family, they're going to discover that a lot of the things that we've been fed and told throughout our lives are not actually true, because as humans and as spiritual beings, we are more resilient, we are more capable than we're led to or allowed to believe. And so as we look at this, Jabez was called Jabez because he was given birth to in pain. I believe, and I'm going to pray, that from your pain, from our pain, that God can give birth to something, and that it's not going to be the pain that defines us, but what God does through that pain, from that pain. And again, the first thing he says, oh, that you will bless me. I believe that God will bless you, God will keep you, and God will give birth to something from our pain this year. Okay, so took up quite a bit of chunk there, and I hope that set the foundation and spoken into some lives of some people. Please feel free to feedback or connect with us. But just before we close, I'm going to pray. Try not to get emotional. I feel quite emotional today, but I'm going to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone hearing this word today. Everyone who has experienced some level of pain, maybe 2020 pain, maybe COVID pain, maybe bereavement pain, divorce pain, bankruptcy pain, life pain. Lord, I just pray that despite the pain, there's something better coming. There's something that's going to be given birth to from the pain, something of blessing, something of building. And we firmly believe the best is yet to come. So, Lord, I pray that you will wipe away every tear. You'll soothe every broken heart. And that even though the temptation and the pain feels very real, that recognition of your faithfulness will change that situation. In every life, Lord, everyone listening, I pray the faithfulness of God will surround our people. And that, God, that they will not be tempted beyond their ability. You will provide a way and a means of escape. And that they will endure the pain of 2020 and see the blessings of 2021. And for those that are still finding pain and emotion really raw through one thing or another, God, that you would be ever present with them, that you would be closer to them than they ever realized, and that they would feel your presence, your anointing, your influence in those situations they're going through. And Lord, I use those phrases that the test will be changed to testimony, the mess will be changed to message, and that, God, your name will be glorified, not because of the pain, but through the pain and the blessing that has emerged from that pain. In Jesus' name and for his kingdom we pray. Amen and amen.